I have enjoyed so much what Brother Green has brought to us. I'm almost hesitant to go any further. It would be a good time for me to say amen. And I can say amen to what he has preached. It's good for us, and it is a great blessing for us to have faith in that fact.
Right.
Because where facts are established, every argument ceases.
Right.
Because to argue with fact is to argue with truth.
Right.
And truth cannot be argued with.
Right.
Lord Jesus Christ, as he made a real physical appearance here in the world, historically, the Bible tells us, and he quoted part of it from 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. If we stop right there, that would be plenty to preach about. But whatever exalted conception you may have of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work, it will never be enough to describe what he's done. He not only, some people have the idea that the Lord Jesus, when he died, Brother Adam talked about it, didn't say it in these words, but he said it in principle, that he just bore the penalty of sin. I affirm to you today that he just did not bear the penalty of sin. But he's exactly right. He became sin for us. Who knew no sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What was it? God was manifest in the flesh. He became what he had not been.
Yeah.
The Bible tells me in St. John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Tabernacle. That's what that word dwelt means. Tabernacle. Now, what was the tabernacle? Well, it was simply a temporary building.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand today that our Lord Jesus Christ made that real, physical, historical appearance in Bethlehem of Judea at the right time, at the right place, in the right way. That's not fatalism, that's just fact.
Right.
When he did that, I affirm to you that he dwelt in a body of flesh, but bless your heart, it was just temporary. I get nauseated with some of these people sometimes that have the idea that they just took Jesus off and drug him off to a cruel cross like he could have went some other way. Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to take it. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. Unto this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. I'll tell you right now, you can hang your hat on that. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. The Bible tells me in Colossians chapter 1, notice the terminology that he uses. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Chapter 2 and verse 9 says, for in him dwelleth, or tabernacles, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. all the characteristics that God is, everything that God is, everything that makes up God, the invisible God, He is the image of that invisible God.
Amen.
He is the express image of His person. In Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, manifest in the flesh. The Bible says, it pleased the Father that in Him, you know, I like it when the Bible says it pleased the Father. Don't you like that term?
Amen.
It pleased the Father. I like it when Paul said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. It pleased the Father. The Bible tells me in the book of Psalms that our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. When He pleases, where He pleases, with whom He pleases. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you right now, the world speaks of peace. Right today, as we speak, right at this moment, there are councils throughout the world trying to arrive at some kind of a peace treaty. Trying to arrive at a medium of peace where hostilities would cease. But I'll tell you right now, that when our Lord Jesus went to the cross, God would have been perfectly just and right to doom you and damn you to hell forever. But I want to tell you right now, because of the peace that the Lord Jesus made between you and a thrice holy God who demanded perfection, I affirm to you today that when God sees you, He sees you not only just, but He sees you justified.
Amen.
Having made peace through the blood of His cross. Now today is April 15th. Y'all know, all know what that is, don't you? Amen. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Do you know what May 15th is? Now I heard that this morning. Now, I'm going to give y'all some information that's going to be good for you. So I want you to listen. It's going to be the most important thing I say while I'm here. Brother Adam's got to go back tomorrow. I think I'm going to be here with you Sunday, so y'all got a lot to endure. Today is April 15th, May the 15th. Now, I want you to understand this, because I heard it on the radio. I know it's so. May 15th is International Day to Reach the Unreached. Now, did y'all get that? Don't tell me that's not so. I heard it from the Moody Bible in Chicago. May 15th is International Day to Reach the Unreached. Well, now, do you know what they're saying? They're saying that on May the 15th, those who have been reached need to reach out to those who have not been reached. And if those who have been reached do not reach out to the unreached, and the unreached die and go to hell,
right.
Then those who have not reached out are going to be held accountable because they have not reached the unreached. Now that's what they're saying. But brother, I got a better story for you.
Amen. Amen.
I've got a better story for you. I'm telling you today that there is not a sinner so far gone that the Lord cannot reach it. There is not one hidden to the degree that the Lord cannot Jesus said this in his own words in John chapter 6 and verse 44. He said, no man can come to me. He didn't say no man may come. He said no man can come. No man has the ability to come. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Let's don't stop there. Let's get verse 45. Yeah. For it is written in the prophets, where? Isaiah 54:13, if you want to read. They shall all be taught of God. They shall all be taught of God. And I'll tell you right now that they are going to be taught with a teaching that is above and beyond the ability of man to perform. The Bible tells me in 1 John 2:27, and all him. Well, let's go back to John 2:27. He said, the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you.
Yeah, that's right.
Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Jesus said, but God be, or Paul said, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. You see, there was a teaching that was done that was outside the limits of men. Jesus Christ teaches those whom he reaches, and when he teaches those whom he reaches, I want to tell you right now, it's something that God does and not men.
Amen. Right.
You see?
Amen.
Now, for those folks that don't get reached, you know, it sounds bad, doesn't it? And according to their doctrine, it is bad.
That's right.
You know, that's the truth. But I'll tell you right now, when our blessed Lord died and made peace between you and a holy God, I want to tell you right now that his resurrection from the dead was a pure and simple evidence that he was who he said he was. He could have sighted the blind, caused the deaf to hear, and done all the miracles that he did. But if he had not been risen from the dead, he could have never been declared the Son of God with power. Romans 1:4 says he was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And I affirm to you today that in his resurrection from the dead, there was that sufficiency and that perfection. Now, Paul says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, but this man, when he offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down. Verse 14 says that he had perfected forever. Now, to them that would oppose us, I want to answer this question. Is there anything, any condition that the sanctified must meet if Christ has perfected them? Is there any condition that those who are sanctified and been made perfect, is there any condition that they must perform to make them any more perfect than they already are? Now, I want to answer to that. Well, there's not anything. There's no condition that they have to meet. Why? Because Christ met every condition that God demanded. And God was satisfied with that. Never have to be done again. The weakness of the law was shown by the repetition of the sacrifice. It had to be done over and over and over again. But this man, when he'd offered one sacrifice for sin, finished that work, and thank God, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's the words of Jesus. I'll tell you right now, when Paul began to preach here, he said, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you see how personal he gets with it now?
Right.
And you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now. You know, if I know what the word now means, it means now, doesn't it?
Right.
You know, I'm glad, brother, you're not going to have to wait till you get to heaven to be reconciled. You're reconciled right now. Listen to what he says. Yet now hath he reconciled. Hath he do it? Here's what he says. In the body of his flesh, Now remember, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, saint of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and what else? Received up into glory. Yes, sir. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. I like that description. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. You know, the book's not wrong, is it?
No,
the book's not wrong. I got a little girl who works in my office. She's been there longer than I have. That's a long time. Been there over 40 years. Usually she's right about things. I don't question her very much. About a year or so ago, we were in there and was trying to pay a bill to satisfy everybody. And I said, "Connie, I don't think we can do this way." She said, "Oh, yeah, you can. I've been doing it 40 years." I said, "I don't think we can. We can. We can do it that way." Well, I went there and got the book, looked it up. Sure enough, I was right for a change. I carried it in there and I said, "Connie, read that and tell me what you think." She looked at it. She read it. Looked at me. I said, "What do you think?" She said, "The book's wrong." Well, let me tell you something, friend. The book's not wrong. The book's not wrong. He made peace through the blood of his cross. In his body, upon the cross, in the body of his flesh, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. But you know what? The Bible tells me that he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Listen now, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That just simply means first in rank or authority. He is preeminent in salvation. He is preeminent in creation. He is preeminent in regeneration. All of it you want to see, the fullness of the Godhead bodily was preeminent in all things. And I don't want to burst your bubble today, but let me tell you this. God's faith is not in you.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Now there are folks that have the idea, and I've said this before, if I live long enough, I'll say it again, have the idea that the faith that Brother Adam talked about, that faith, if we'll exercise enough faith, then God will be brought under obligation to us. And on the basis of our faith, he'll reach out to us and we can reach back to him. Brother, I'll tell you right now. Let me just say it like this. Somebody said one time, said, "Brother Ricky, God is a gentleman. He'll not save you against your will." You know what I said? Every sinner that's ever been saved was saved against his will. God willed against the will of the sinner and makes him a willing character in the day of his power.
Amen.
That's what God does to us. He comes down to where we are. It's not your faith that brings God under obligation to you. God never been obligated to you. But I'll tell you one thing. When God Almighty confirmed his Son as a sacrifice for sins, God was obligated to receive that sacrifice. He was bound by an oath. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross and they came by him and they looked at him, you know, they said, "Why, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Why don't he come down from the cross?" I want to tell you right now, Jesus Christ could not come down from the cross.
Right.
Why, preacher? Because he was bound by a covenant promise.
Right.
Bound by a covenant promise. I affirm to you today that our blessed Lord went to the cross. He lived temporarily. And when he went to the cross, I'll tell you right now, it wasn't anything out of the order. The blueprint was right in place. The Bible tells me, and you remember what he said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he hath made him to be sin. You see, Jesus Christ didn't make it. God made him to be sin. That's what it says. He hath made him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness. There's the transfer. You see, he became sin for us. He received our sin. we receive His righteousness.
Amen.
There's that transfer.
Amen.
And I'll tell you right now, there's not even a record of it anymore for you. You know, you can go to my courthouse. I've got a key. I can get in any door. You can look up my record on the computer. And you know what? I've violated the law a few times. It's often no felon. But I violated the law a few times. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can pull it up on the computer. Record keeping system's too good now. I mean, they can pull it up. There it is, right there. Violated. I violated the law. I'm a violator. But you know what? You can look over there, and I've paid every penalty the law demands. Every one of them. I've paid the fine. But if I go back 20 years from now, I can still pull it up and the record will be there. But I want to tell you right now, when Jesus died, bless your heart, He not only expunged your sin, but bless God, He also cleared the record.
Amen.
And not even a record left. Can't pull it up to hold it against you anymore. In a judicial way, the record has been cleared. That's the reason the Bible could say this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, that is a prosecutorial term. Yeah, prosecutorial term. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It has already been appealed to the highest court, and there is not a judge that can overrule the ruling that's been made. It's already been judged by the highest authority that there is. You see, and you've been judged righteous, not because of who you are, but because of what He is.
Amen.
That's where we're at today with it. You see, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Yes, sir. We have a circuit judge in our system, or did have. He retired now. I'm glad he's gone. I didn't like him anyway. He didn't like me either. You know, I was over the courthouse over in Cherokee County the other day. Somebody said a while ago they had some folks lived at Cedar Bluff, Alabama. That's 30 minutes from my house, right over in the next county. I was over that courthouse the other day. Man walked up to me and said, "You're Mr. Hartgrove, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "Who?" I said, "Who are you?" And he told me. I still didn't know it. He said, "I don't like you, but I don't remember why." Well, when you've been in there as long as I have, you know, you've rubbed some folks the wrong way every once in a while. All right. Well, this is where the judge was over there. And I said, "Judge Cole, before you retire, I want to carry you eat lunch." He said, "All right." And you know, we didn't agree on nothing. Not nothing. If he said it's raining, I'd say sunshine. You know what I mean? We just didn't agree on nothing. That's just the way it was. And I said, and listen, he had a Friends of Baptist background. That's the truth. Now, he joined the Methodist Church, but he had a Friends of Baptist background. He really did. And bless God, he was a wonderful man, but he didn't know how sinners saved. I'll tell you that. Anyway, I said, "Judge," I said, "what does it mean in the Bible when it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" But that's a prosecutorial term. Well, I said, "Tell me in Sand Mountain language what that means." He said, "That means that the highest authority has already rendered the one righteous under consideration, and there is no appeal to be made because the one that rendered the decision is the highest authority that there is."
Yeah.
He said, "Now that's what you wanted me to say for you hard-shelled Baptists, right?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Well, is that the truth or is that not the truth?" He said, "It is an absolute fact." Amen. Thank you, Judge. It is a fact for He said. You hear it? It was a fact for you believe it. And whether you believe it or not, doesn't change the fact. Not one bit. Even if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. I like that. Woo! I like that. You understand what that means? Yes, sir. It says this, that even if we believe not, even those who don't get reached, bless your heart. If the Lord died for them, thank God, God's still faithful.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I'll tell you, that's a good place to rest our case. And that's a good place for us to rest in tonight. I'm thankful for that because the mystery of godliness is great. But I want to tell you, it's not so mysterious that the Lord has not given us a little glimmer of light. Here and there, we can still see it through the preaching of the gospel, and how blessed we are today to understand and know that, and no wonder Psalms 89 and 15 could say, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Bless your heart, I'll tell you, I'm glad I not only can hear it, but thank God I can know down deep in my soul that it identifies with my experience. Thank you, may God bless you, Brother Lambert.